from Sisiman, Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text Number 53. This chapter is entitled Chanting the Song sung by Lord Shiva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Etat
Rupam
Anudhyeyam
Atma
Shudhyam Abhipshatam Yad Bhakti Yogo Bhayadaha Sva Dharmam Anudhishtatam Etad Rupam Anudhyeyam Atma Shuddhim Apichatam Yat Bhakti Yogo Vayadha Swadharman Anutishtatam Etat Rupam Anudyeyam Atma Shuddhim Apichatam Yat Bhakti Yogo Vayadha Swadharmam anutistaham Etad rupam anudyeyam Atma sudhim abhipshatam Yat bhakti yoga bhayadha Swadharmam anutistaham that this rupam form anudhyeyam must be meditated upon atma self shuddhim purification abhipshatam of those who are desiring so yet that which Bhakti Yoga, the devotional service, Abhayadha. Factual fearlessness. Swadharmam. One's own occupational duties. Anutistatha. Executing. Translation. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditating upon your lotus feet, as described above. Those who are serious about executing their occupational duties and they want freedom from fear must take to this process of bhakti yoga. It is said that the transcendental name, form, pastimes and entourage of the Lord cannot be appreciated by the blunt material senses. Therefore one has to engage himself in devotional service so that the senses may be purified and one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, however, it is indicated that those who are constantly engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord are certainly purified of the material contamination of the senses and are thus able to see the person, the Supreme Lord, face to face. The word meditation is very popular in this age among the common people, but they do not know the actual meaning of meditation. However, from Vedic literature we learn that the yogis are always absorbed in meditation upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Jnana vasisthatgatena manasa payasyanti yam yogina. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1. This is the real business of the yogis, to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises that one who is actually serious about purification must engage himself in this type of meditation or in the mystic yoga system, which will help him not only to see the Lord within constantly, but to see him face to face and become his associate in Vaikuntha Loka or Golok Vrindavan. The word Swadharmam, as in Swadharmam Anutistatam, indicates that the system of Varnashrama, which indicates the occupational duties of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras, and which is the perfect institution for humanity, must be supported by Bhakti Yoga if one at all wants security in life. Generally people think that simply by executing one the occupational duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Sudra, or the duty of a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanapras or Sannyasi, one becomes fearless or securely attains liberation. But factually, unless all these occupational duties are accompanied by bhakti yoga, one cannot become fearless. In Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. But unless one comes to the point of bhakti yoga, these other yogas cannot help one attain the highest perfection of life. In other words, bhakti yoga is the only means for liberation. We find this conclusion also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy regarding a human being's liberation from this material world. In that discussion, Ramananda Roy referred to the execution of Varnashram Dharma and Lord Chaitanya indicated that Varnashram Dharma was simply external, a whole bahya. Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon Ramananda Roy that simply by executing the duties of Varnashram Dharma, one is not guaranteed liberation. Finally, Ramananda Roy referred to the process of bhakti yoga, sthani, sthita, sutikatam, tanurvam, manohi, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. Regardless of one's condition of life, if he practices bhakti yoga, which begins with hearing, Shutigatam, the transcendental messages of the Lord through the mouths of the devotees, he gradually conquers the unconquerable Lord. God is known to be unconquerable, but one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul conquers the unconquerable. The conclusion is that if one is serious about liberation, he should not only he not only should execute the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma, but should also engage in Bhakti Yoga by beginning hearing from a realized soul. This process will help the devotee conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his associate after giving up the material body. End of program. Om Ajnana Taram Rasya Ajnana Sarakaya Chakshulamitam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhukadeh Simasti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nei Nei Vishesha Sankaravi. Auspicious day to start something today. Akkai Tithya. The Chaturyuga was started on this day. Began on this day. It also says Ganga Devi appeared on this day. Huh? Can you hear? Today is Akkai Tithya. It's considered a very auspicious day. Whole day is auspicious. If you usually in the day, there are certain tithis or certain times which are auspicious. If you want to start something, then you look at the panchaka, you find the best time to start this particular activity. But on this day, there's no need of that. Any time, any part of the day, it's all auspicious. It is said that Ganga Devi also appeared, came to the earth on this day. And it's beginning of Chaturyuga. Chaturyuga started. Also the auspicious Chandan Yatra, a brother mother, it's actually from the Jagannath festival. Most of these festivals come from Puri, most of our festivals we follow. And that also, the story of the Madhavendra Puri, Prabhu, it also took place around this time. You remember the story of Sripad Madhavendra Puri when he was in Vrindavan, Govardhan, and he had a dream. Gopal came to him in a dream and said, I'm under this bush, I've been here for a long time, I need some nourishment. Please help me. So then he went there and they discovered that deity and installed him there in Vrindavan. Then later Gopal told him, I'm very hot. Due to intense heat here, this time of year is very hot. So if you get me some Malay sandalwood, I'll be very happy. So then he was going to south to collect that sandalwood. And in Ramuna, is it Ramuna? Stop that. It's Gopinam, is it? Yes, Kirchhoff Gopinam. Then he saw those nice offerings they were making kheer for Gopinath at night. It's a famous offering there. So he thought, that's very nice. If I could get a little of that prasad and taste that, then I could make it for my Gopal. Then he felt very bad about thinking to taste it before it was even offered. But then Lord Gopinath hid a pot of kheer for him. Very famous story there. I told the Pujari, I've taken a pot of kheer, you take it to my devotee, Madhavendra, he's in the market. So then, then immediately Madhavendra Puri, after that incident, he left that place the same night after he took that ecstatic prasadam. And otherwise, word would have got out, he would become very famous, but being very humble, he didn't want all that fuss. So then he went to Puri, but the fame had already beaten him to Puri. So he became, when he was there, then they become very welcome, all the sadhus. And so that's the Lord's arrangements. And the king arranged for all the chandan and camphor and gave him all the permits to carry it back. He gave him some help to carry it. So he made all his arrangements. Then on the way back again, he passed through Ramuna, and then Gopinath said, "No need to go all the way to Vrindavan. You can give me here. I'm the same person." So then he stayed there till all the chandan was finished. So this is the chandan yatra. The Lord is very intelligent in the hot season. He knows how to keep cool. There's also this with water is dripping. On the Shaligam and Tulsi, 1 month, as soon as the hot weather starts. Now he has chandan, then he goes on a boat. And he goes on a boat ride, keep cool. Then after that, then after Purnima, again there's the Jolbiha, Krishna comes out on the water. And we do it here in the fountain, we make a pond, but the small deities on it for the water fountain. So like that, the Lord, this is how the Lord enjoys his existence, keeping cool and engaging all his devotees in service. So, real auspicious day. Translation again. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditation upon your lotus feet as described above. Those who are serious about executing their occupational duties and who want freedom from fear must take to this process of bhakti yoga. This instruction from Lord Shiva to the potatoes is a very wonderful portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam describing the actual personality of Godhead, these different features, which is very rare thing to hear. And bringing one to the conclusion that if actually one wants success at all in life, this is the ultimate thing, to always remember Krishna. This is our bottom line. That's all the rules and regulations. And that one can always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So if one can always remember Krishna, then rules and regulations are not so necessary for that person. But one shouldn't superficially jump ahead So the Prabhupada is quoting the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, but that's right at the end of the Bhagavatam, and is also stated there in the beginning of the first chapter, that the real business of the yogi is to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the perfect yogi. This is the perfect yogi after describing all the different yoga systems. The perfect yogi. This is 12th canto, and then right at the end, this is the perfection of yoga. Is to remember the Lord, is to meditate, is to always remember the Lord. So we had the same program. Of course, this program was Astanga Yoga, by Dhyan, by meditation, by Pranayama, by following this Astanga Yoga system. Because this was we're in Satya Yoga with the Pachetas? Probably, I think. Which yoga are we speaking about? The Pachetas they're going? It's probably Satya Yoga, yeah? Anyway, it's very early on. So the process then was meditation. Yeah, you could sit down and meditate. Everyone was already peaceful. Everyone lived for a long time, good health. There's no need of all this other stuff, all this preparation, really. Very easy time. But the process was to remember the Lord. So it's always a process. Either you meditate by your mind or through the fire or through the deity, or now specifically through the holy name. The thing is the same, somehow or other, to always remember Krishna. This is Srimad Bhagavatam is repeating throughout the whole, this is what the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring one to this proper understanding that one has to remember Krishna. That's really important. And everything else is superficial. So, but it's not that one should give up occupational duties. Lord Shiva says those who are serious about occupational duties and they want freedom from fear must take to this process of bhakti yoga. So any occupational duty without bhakti yoga, it doesn't mean a lot in comparison with bhakti, because bhakti will take you out to take you wherever you want to go out of this material world. But occupational duties, they'll purify you. They'll get you out of the modes of nature, more or less, after many, many births. That is the whole purpose of Varnashram, is really to purify one's existence. Which is important in one aspect, but what is the purpose of becoming purified? So you can always remember Krishna without distraction. I remember when I was very first here and I asked Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, what's it all about? Is it sort of about becoming purified? He said, no, it's all about serving Krishna. Okay. So that is, if you can remember Krishna, then the rules and regulations are already served. It means, if you can always remember Krishna, then it means you've probably done everything in your previous births. If we can't always remember Krishna, then we put ourselves in the security of the rules. They'll stop you getting too far away. It'll stop you engaging in activities which are averse to Krishna consciousness, or which will increase the material consciousness. That's what the rules are for. They're just buffers, so that on your path through life, you won't go too far away. You'll be bouncing off the wall here and there. These are the rules. You won't go off the track. And at the end of the road, there's Krishna. But unless you know that Krishna's at the end of the road, then you have to diligently work on the rules. But once you know Krishna's there, and that's your focus, then, you know, that's half the battle is won. Now you just got to go through life. If you know that, because it's actually rare that people know that and actually support that and follow that. So we're very fortunate souls to be here at this particular time. We were discussing yesterday how we're only a few generations away from Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. a few generations back, Lord Chaitanya was here. And before that, there wasn't much chance, and especially of those who come from uncultured backgrounds, from the West, we never heard of our generation. My father never heard Krishna in his life, probably heard the name. And what to speak of all the rest of the generations. So we're very lucky. We were just around the corner. And if you accept this process of always remembering Krishna, do that. The best way to do that is by always engaging in service of Krishna. It's obviously the best way to do it. Then you can just be absorbed in what you're doing, understanding that the result is for Krishna. Then that is your easy way to remember Krishna. These are the rules of bhakti, of our particular, the process we follow is sadhana bhakti, which is all the rules are all condensed in sadhana bhakti, because we've really got nine ways to serve the Lord. It's very condensed. It's very narrow, in one sense. It's a very direct path. No scope of anything else but serving Krishna in a favorable way. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned here about how the discussion between Rai Rama and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Lord Chaitanya asked him how the human being becomes liberated. Then he started off with this premise by following Varnashram Dharma, and he's quoting the Vishnu Purana. Following your occupational duties in Varnashram Dharma, this is the only way to satisfy Lord Vishnu. There is no other way. Vishnu Purana. So of course Mahaprabhu said, hey, hold by, this is external. He said, tell me more. And Lord Chaitanya went on, so Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse here, Stani Stita Dikatam Tanuvan Manobi, in the Bhagavatam 10th canto. I brought this 10th canto here because it's very, very nice purpose. Of course, this is by the loving disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Gopi Panandana and Kirtananda Swami. But they're very faithful to the purports of the acharyas, and they're quoting the previous acharyas. So this was the because after when Mahaprabhu rejected that as external, this following Varnashram, then he quoted Varnashram. Whatever you should do for Krishna. Do as an offering for Krishna. Do your work, perform that, and offer the result to Krishna. It's more or less karma mission. And he quoted the Yat Karoti Yat Asasni verse. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever, do that all for Krishna. Mahaprabhu rejected that as not spiritual. Then he said you should give up. You should give up your occupational duties. And he quoted Savadharma and Pritaja. Mahaprabhu also rejected that. Would you give up? Give up Varnashram, etc. Then he quoted Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. One attains that state, there's no higher knowledge, he realizes. But this is also like Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So Mahaprabhu also rejected that. Then he said, go on, and he said, Rai Rama said that pure devotional service without any tinge of jnana. He said, that is it. So that is our program. It's given by Rupa Goswami, Anupalina, that pure devotional service shouldn't be mixed with desire for material enjoyment or a desire for material freedom, karma and jnana. So it shouldn't be, which are very strong desires, very strong. That's all the material world is about. Most people who want to enjoy their situation, a rare few, they actually want to be free from the liberation, to liberate from the material world. But he stated that pure devotional service should actually be free from those things, because they're both self-interested. It's my happiness and my peace. So therefore Mahaprabhu rejected him as not being impure, not pure devotional service. And then he quoted this verse. And the translation is, because it's a very similar purport it runs in, and it's associated. Translation is, those who, this is Lord Brahma speaking to Krishna, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away this process of speculative knowledge with their body, words and mind, they offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives in these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So Prabhupada's also mentioned is how we can actually conquer the Supreme Lord. So obviously it's a relation. Prabhupada is actually referring from this verse and the previous acharyas, that simply by hearing from a self-realized soul about the qualities, pastimes of Krishna, one is able to conquer the Lord who is of course we don't want to conquer Krishna, that's not an ambition to conquer God, it doesn't sound proper. But it means God, he becomes conquered by your affinity towards him, your degree of surrender to him. In the translation of this purport, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the words Tanu, Vang, Manu, Bi, the body, words and mind, in three ways in reference to devotees. Through their body, mind and words, they are able to conquer Lord Krishna. Thus becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness, they can touch his lotus feet with their hands, call to him with their words, and attain his direct audience within their minds simply by thinking about him. But for the non-devotees, it means ajita, unconquered. It says that the non-devotees, they cannot conquer the Absolute Truth by their bodily strength, verbal expertise or mental power, no matter how great they are, how great indeed these qualities that they have, the Ultimate Truth always remains beyond their reach, because the Lord is an independent person and he acts how he pleases. He reveals himself to who he wants to reveal himself. So no matter how powerful one is, materially speaking, no matter how well equipped one is and with great faculties of intellectual faculties or physical faculties or poetical, if the Lord doesn't want to reveal himself, you can never know him. That's his prerogative. But he reveals himself to his pure devotees. So you see, it's really only, again, it's coming back to this thing, it's only that this devotional service which will actually attract the Lord with interest. The Lord will interest the Lord. The Lord is interested in loving affairs. So why should he be interested in anyone who's not on that platform of spontaneous love? Why should he be interested? Super soul is here acting as a witness. But that Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, why should he be interested in anything less than, you know, pure love? So it's really not an easy thing for us to do it. Otherwise, because the material world is going on, as Krishna wants it to, he set it into action. And he doesn't have anything to do with it. He comes as a super soul and witnesses. Not as close as he gets closer as the deity form. The deity will actually reciprocate. But as a super soul, he's just witnessing, and Krishna's not, he's somewhere else. He's just letting us, you know, travel around the material universe, enjoying and suffering the results of our previous activities, our karma. He has nothing to do with it. Krishna says, I'm not responsible. Although I'm doing everything, I'm allowing everything to go on. I've created everything, all the ingredients are mine, the faculty is mine, the bodies are mine, the intelligence is mine, the mind is mine, the senses are mine, the ability is mine, all the faculty that we have is Krishna's. But he said, although everything, I'm doing everything also through material nature, the soul can't move matter, it's all moved by the devas, etc. It's all Krishna's energy. But I'm not responsible for your happiness and distress. Each one is responsible. This is a rule. So sometimes we say, why doesn't Krishna make it easy? Why does he let us suffer? But Krishna's a long way away. We're responsible for our happiness and distress by the choices that we make, whether to serve Krishna or to serve ourselves. We're responsible for that. So you can't say God is cruel and, you know, he's allowing us to suffer. The rule is there. This is how to behave. And this is the reactions. If you act like this, you suffer. If you act like this, you come to me. You'll be free. And now it's up to us. So for civilized people, there's no excuse. Their scripture is always there for those who are civilized people. So you've got this opportunity. So Krishna's very fair. He's given the opportunity. Here's the material world. Here's how it works. I'm in charge. This is how it runs. This is your park. This is your nature, right? You act like this. Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, Brahmacharya Yogasya Vana. You act in basic category. You fit in one of those slots and you serve me. Otherwise, if you don't want to do that, it'll take you a long time, many, many births to get free from passion and ignorance. This is how it works. He's given everything. He's not holding anything back. All the information is there, exactly what this world is, exactly who we are, and the process to stay in this world, to get a better birth next time, to get a birth on a higher planet, to get liberation, to go to the spiritual world, different planets in the spirit. The whole information is there. So Krishna's not to be blamed or at fault. He's very fair. He's given the whole picture. He's given the picture for human beings, civilized humans. You take. Now what do you want? You take what you want out of that. So I'm not responsible. So we can't say God is cruel or unjust or unfair. Only if you don't have knowledge you can say that. It seems unjust if you don't have knowledge. If you don't know about karma and things like that. Then of course you have to come up with something. So, do we follow... Because we can't always remember Krishna, then we follow these principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And that was this verse. When Ramananda chanted this, Lord Chaitanya said, this is okay. So this is the basic platform. Then he said, you can go on. And he goes on and on and on and on and on and on. A ridiculous, a conversation, which is so intimate and so esoteric that... Ramananda Roy's flabbergasted. I don't know what you're making me speak. I'm opening my. I never knew such questions existed. I never knew such esoteric. It means the loving relationship with Radha and Krishna, and Radha around his feelings and things like that. Very, very esoteric. But it goes on for a long time. But this is where he stops. Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, this is okay. This is okay. But tell me more." This verse here. So the Acharya is saying here, this is the basic principle of perfection. Then you have to practice this principle. It means the Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti. Then if you follow Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti, that has to come to Prema Bhakti or love of God. There's no other way to it. but one has to be very diligent and follow this very nicely with the goal in mind, what the actual goal is. Not just to, sometimes we get caught up in the rules of being a perfect member of the Varnashram society, for instance. But that's not the goal. I mean, if you practice perfectly for 100 births, you become Lord Brahma, Varnashram. But that's, we're talking about pure devotional service. We're talking about going back to the kingdom of God. So I just want to read this a bit. Vishwanath Chakrabarti quotes on this verse from the 10th canto. How the pure devotee conquers the Lord. He says he conquers the Lord. The pure devotees conquer the Lord's body, mind, and words also. He says Lord Krishna's body is conquered because he always remains by the side of his pure devotees. Lord Krishna's words are conquered because he always chants the glories of his devotees. And Lord Krishna's mind is conquered because he always thinks about his loving devotees. This is a fact, right? When we read the pastimes of Krishna, it's all about his devotees. He's always surrounded by loving devotees. He puts himself where his devotees are. Where his pure devotees are, then Krishna's always surrounded by devotees. In other words, he's conquered. He has to be with devotees. He has to have that sangha. Helpless. So he's love, he wants love, you see, and they have love. So he's helplessly drawn towards those people. And he can't stop thinking about them. What does Krishna think about? He's always thinking about his devotees, right? And he can't stop talking about them. What does he talk about? He's always talking, glorifying his devotees, Balaram, Radha, and all his devotees. So Krishna is also addicted to his devotees. So I was talking to one person, visitor, and I told him that Krishna says Sarvadham and Pitya. He said, yes, that's another thing. He said, Krishna's so selfish. The other gods aren't saying that. Only Krishna is Sarvadham and Pritya, Mami come, only me, no one else. Isn't that selfish? But Krishna sold out to his devotees. He only thinks of his devotees. He only associates with his devotees. And he only talks about his devotees. So he's showing. So only he's not asking us to do something that he doesn't do himself. So Krishna's perfect in every way, you see. if we want to join that entourage, we follow in the footsteps of Krishna. We always remember Krishna and his devotees. We always glorify Krishna and his pastimes and his devotees and their pastimes. And remember Krishna and the devotees and their pastimes. This is what Krishna does. And if we remember the different gradations of devotees, so it depends on which group of devotee you remember, that you'll become like, and that destination you will attain. So this is how, although we don't want to conquer Krishna, we want to serve him enough, but he becomes conquered by the love of the unalloyed love of the pure devotee. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. This is what Lord Shiva is saying, and what it said over and over again. Simply, this is the actual purpose, the ultimate goal of existence. Is to establish one's loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Darshan's at 7, at 8. I don't know what the time is. It must be almost 8. Is it 8 o'clock? Okay. Anyone have any comments, questions?
No questions, though. Hare Krishna. Sometimes some devotee think, unless we are pure, we should never render the devotional service. And some other devotees think, by doing the devotional service, we become pure. So which of the two is true? The first, some devotees say, unless we are pure, we should never render the devotional service. When we become pure, then we can render the devotional service. And others, they say, just by rendering the devotional service, one becomes pure. So which of the two is correct?
You can't render devotional service unless you're pure. And you come pure by rendering devotional service. Which one is right? This is what Prabhupada mentions in the beginning. It's very mysterious for me. Usually Prabhupada writes very simply, but beginning of this purport. Well, this is it. It's like the catch 22. Krishna's only reveals himself to his pure devotees who have surrendered to him and have great affection for him. But you can't come to that state of great affection to Krishna without Krishna's mercy. So what comes first? You can't get it unless Krishna gives you mercy, and he only gives you mercy to those kind of people who are on that platform. Very mysterious. But anyway, our program is, which is given by Krishna himself, obviously we don't have it because we ask it these kind of questions. We don't have that spontaneous affection and love for Krishna. Well, we have something there, otherwise what are we doing? But this is the program that has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami down the line. So it must end in, if you follow, because it says if you follow, you can follow Vaidhi Sananda Bhakti for birth after birth, you'll never get prema. But how will you get prema? Now you have to follow Vaidhi Sananda Bhakti. This is a preliminary. If it's not, if you don't have spontaneous attraction, then the next best thing is you've got to have rules to follow. You've got to have a procedure to follow, and this is Vaidhi Sananda Bhakti. So it must end in prema bhakti, if you're serious about it. How long it will take, that's up to your endeavor, your sincerity and Krishna's mercy. That's not for us to say, not for us to discuss. But there's only one program. There's not another program. There's some shortcuts, there's some special things to do, but the program is the same. Your endeavor and ultimately the mercy of Krishna. Now we can't discuss when he gives, why he gives, how he gives. That's his prerogative, he's a person. If you're Krishna, okay, if you had the prerogative, the Krishna Bhakti is in charge of his devotees. Krishna gives it to them to distribute. So if you had that, perhaps this jewel of Krishna Bhakti, prema, who would you give it to in this room first? Who would you give it to? Huh? You don't know? Well, you'd think of someone you have a good relationship, something. But it's your choice, you see. And if you ask somebody in Marari, he would maybe say someone else, but also say someone different. So Krishna's a person, he has his likes and dislikes. And that's his prerogative, who he gives it to, when he gives it, how he gives it. That we can't question. We can endeavor very sincerely for that. As far as you can go. And you can be laying on the ground, pulling your hair, banging your head on the wall and crying for Krishna's mercy and love of Krishna. You can get to that stage, but that's it. You're still waiting. So your sincerity and your endeavor and the mercy of the Lord. You're serious, it's going to work. But the time when it works, the goal will come when it works. Otherwise, what's Rupa Goswami saying? Why did he come here? Why did he say time to come here? What do all the acharyas do? If it doesn't work, it's only one process for everyone. If it doesn't work, then what are they? What are they? They wasted the whole time. So of course it works. The Lord, yeah. We're not so sincere about it. We have other agendas also, that's the problem. So then for some time.
This is the Bhagavad Gita verse, Patram Pusmam Phalamtam Jome Bhakta Prayasati. So one should offer the love and devotion. He must be pure. If he is so pure, we offer the Patra Pusmam Phalam, like the Bhoga to the Lord. Will he accept or not?
If you offer it with love and devotion, without love and devotion, that's it. And we have this Vaidhi Sananda Bhakti, Pancharatriki system. The rules to follow. You want to offer bhoga to Krishna, okay. Who's cooking? How is the bhoga? What kind of bhoga it is? Only vegetarian. How it should be cooked? Who should cook it? Only those Brahmin initiated, pure people. What should be their standard? What should their preparation before they start to cook? Everything pure. Who should offer it? What is his standard of behavior? Who can go there? When you put it on the table, how will you then? There's 100 things you can do before you purify it with water, air, fire, mantra, mudra. So many things you can do. It's all purification. It's all rule. But that rule is to convince you that you're doing the right thing and you'll be peaceful doing it. And Krishna will accept it because he said he'd accept it. So the Archa Vigraha will accept it. This is mercy incarnation, the deity incarnation. He will accept. Otherwise, if he doesn't accept, then what's the use of the scripture? And he has no meaning. So he will accept. But as was explained the other day, because we're doing it in Vaidhi, it's not spontaneous, so it doesn't go to Krishna, it doesn't go to Radha Krishna. It doesn't go that far. We don't have the adhikar to enter into Vrindavan. So because we're doing it in rules and regulation, we worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that goes to that far, to Lakshmi Narayan. It doesn't go beyond that, because our devotion is not spontaneous. Our love, our spontaneity is not there, you see. We're thinking Radha Krishna, we're seeing Radha Krishna, but the devotion that we have is mixed with Jnana-mishra, or aurum reverence. So that's not there in Vrindavan, so it can't go into, our consciousness can't enter into Vrindavan consciousness. But he's going to accept it. He will be accepted, but in the aspect of Lakshmi Narayan. So he's accepted. Okay, now here's a good thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's Radha Krishna. Right? This was explained the other day. Chaitanya was explaining. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. I will accept your offering. I will accept. And I'm not considering Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, Malecha, Yavan. I'm not considering Vihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, Babaji. And he's not considering anything. You chant Hare Krishna. Stop your nonsense. Just chant Hare Krishna and engage in service of my devotees. That's it. He is Radha Krishna. So in this way your service goes to Radha Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. I thought it's not possible. How can you worship Radha Krishna? They haven't got this opportunity. Prajadas didn't get this opportunity, they didn't say to you. They got nine. So they qualified. But this opportunity wasn't available for them. So this is Mahavira now. Very fortunate. Only how many? 10 generations ago Mahaprabhu was here. Nothing. Have you done some service for his devotee? Or his devotee of his devotee? Devotee of his devotee's devotee? Yeah, no problem. You're back. Don't worry, you don't have to worry about your future going back to Godhead or not. It's already assured. You do a little bit in for Mahaprabhu. And if you want to go back, that is, of course. Otherwise, how are we hearing these things? How are we hearing such esoteric knowledge? And how good to practice it? Good luck, eh? What do you want? What do you want? Huh? 35, 38. Now, ISKCON has given you the opportunity to engage 24 hours a day in pure devotion. Huh? What else do you want? Still we're not satisfying. Kali Yuga. Okay. We should see the cool Lord. Lords. Sva Bhagavatam ki, 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 Sva Bhag